summer of 1994.
Whatever she said. That's right. Just go with that. Elaine, what do you? I know a lot of things other than raising the kids. What is your job? The one thing you love to do.
One thing I love to do? Yeah. Sleep.
Michelle's vacation. So, I'll go to the questions that you have.
Well, last night was good for me.
The best vacation that you've ever had. Either of you can go first.
Oh, it's every year we go to Elam with Steve. How is that not the best vacation
there
we ever have?
There you go. Elam Lodge. There's a plug for Elam Lodge. There you go. Best vacation. All right, that's it. Elam Lodge.
Sure. I mean, we were talking about this. I mean, it's hard to pick one. All our vacations are good. And your other vacation of what, or your other question of what,
yep,
bad vacation, you know, we've had a few bad experiences, perhaps, but I can't think of a bad vacation we've had.
Is that the same for you, Elaine?
Yeah, we go on vacation, like we've done Disney and all that. So the only bad experience we had was when we were in a hotel, before our vacation. We stayed in a hotel because we thought, let's just cheap it out. Let's stay in a Holiday Inn. How bad could it be? It was really bad. The beds, like, I wouldn't sleep in it. And the bathrooms, we wouldn't go in because there was stuff growing on the walls. we were, like, in the bathroom, like, on our tippy toes. But that's probably the worst.
All right. Yeah, thankfully, it's not Elam Lodge. If you had a time machine and you could go back in time to any time in the world, where would you pick? And don't say back to, like, 1991 or something.
Why not? 1967, for obvious reasons.
Anybody know why 1967? No? No?
Come on.
Sports fans. The last time the Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup.
And no, I wasn't born yet.
Yeah. And by the way, Mike North, if you ever want those hockey fans, you can blame Mike because he moved here. He says it's his fault just after they won the Stanley Cup in 1967. And he was like, this is great. I've moved to a city that's got amazing teams. And then since then, they have never won at all. So just wanted some of the questions on this bridal town. What are some of the things that you appreciate about the church?
There are many things I appreciate. The people, the fellowship, good music.
Good answer, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I'm part of ladies group, and I've been in that group since 2003. And connection groups are just, or cell groups or small groups. It's just a great way to really just get to know individual members of the church really well. And so I've really connected with the ladies and being part of ladies group. We meet every Tuesday. It's a little plug for ladies group. And we pray together. We cry together. We worship together. We serve Jesus together. So I think being part of ladies group is the big part of me staying with Bridal Town.
Who was here when Tim Cole was here? A few of you. Well, there's one sermon he did, and I'll never forget it. It was, he was talking about the changing church and how the immigrants moving into our neighborhood are causing our church to change. And that's one thing I love about the church is that we're welcoming. We've got a lot of new people here, and it's great just mixing everyone together and worshiping God.
All right. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you, guys. So hopefully you learned something, you know, new about James and Elaine. And I didn't know that Elam would be their best vacation ever. That's awesome. And we're going to try to do that more often. I think one of the things when we're, as a body of believers, we come here on Sundays, we sometimes I'll have our small groups, but we don't really, at times, know that much about each other. And I think we really need to encourage one another. And so in the next, you know, month or so, I'll probably be sending an email to one of you guys. And I'll be more specific on that email that you will be up on stage. There you go. And then just, you know, just to do these kind of interviews, because I think it's nice, right, you to be able just to see other people that maybe you don't know too much about, and then just to learn about them. And hopefully within, you know, a couple months, if we can have more and more people do that, then we get to know some and to realize how long, you know, certain people have been here at Bridletown or how new other ones are. So sometimes it's funny. Oftentimes, if you've been at a church statistics show a long time, people don't know that much about you. And if you've been at a church and then when you first come, the first, you know, say month or two, nobody really knows about you. So people tend to know a lot more about the middle, those that have been, you know, 5 or 6 years. But it's weird that as people sometimes who have been at a church for so long, they get so used to just talking to the same people that when they've done these surveys that they don't really get to know everyone. Just in regards to the message this morning, this has been a difficult week for me. I don't know if you've ever had a time where you feel like you're struggling with God and what maybe that you want to do. You know, I only get asked probably like about 3 to 4 times a year about giving a message. And, you know, you really want to, you study a lot and you want to kind of make it a really good message because you only get asked 2 or 3 times, you know. But God just kept on coming back to me. And one of the verses that I read at our annual meeting of Philippians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And just talking about encouragement and I kept putting God off, sort of, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know, I want to talk about this. So I wanted to talk about a book, somebody in the Old Testament. I had the character all set, and I was, you know, Monday night, Tuesday night, and I'm trying to really get around to getting in and doing the study, and then just felt God saying, yeah, let's head back to the encouragement part. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I tried something else. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know if I really want to do kind of that part. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to study a different passage. I'm just going to go to Matthew, and I was having a passage picked out there. And it's weird how sometimes your thoughts just, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, you're just, you know, those of you who have done any type of public speaking or messages, you just can't seem to get anything down. And so I really got a sense that God wanted me to just be, and the message to be a bit more of an encouraging message to the church. And I had 3 board meetings from different organizations this week. Had to go all the way up to Peterborough. It was actually during those driving, about an hour and a half to 2 hours, where I really was able to spend a lot of time praying with my eyes open, by the way. So I wasn't praying with my eyes closed. I trust God, but not that much. And just getting a sense of what he really wanted me to say. And if you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 2. And if you're here for the annual meeting, I finished off by saying that as a church, the attitudes that are talked about, the first part of the verses, are seen to be so important. And as a board, I presented this to the board one of our meetings, that if there's any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in his spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. And it was so hard for me to get past just that first verse. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? And I found myself obviously knowing the answer, that, you know, hopefully the answer is yes, that there is some encouragement from belonging to Christ. But this also talks about, this was written to a church, and this church was starting to lose some of its original purpose and lose the encouragement that they once had for each other. And I had to really sit back and think, and more as kind of like a board member to the church. And I just want to say that I am encouraged by you guys. I really felt that God just wanted me to say that, guys, we've been through a lot, you know, in the last 3 to 4 years as a church. And when you look at a lot of other churches that are around, when they've had some of the issues that we've had, there has been a lot of infighting, there has been a lot of turmoil, churches have split. But But really, I want to just commend you as a church. To think that we went from when we lost Guy Freeman, then Trevor, remember, had left, and then we lost Roseanne, who had been here forever playing the piano. We had the whole year where we had to debate what we were going to do about the Tamil church. Remember that? We were trying to figure out, did we want to merge with them? Did we? I mean, there was even talk at that point about maybe we should sell the church. Maybe this is the time that Bridletown should close. These were the things that were going through, and there's no harm in some of these discussions. And then we had the whole year where we didn't even have, we had a pastor, we had Wayne that God provided for us. Then we finally were able to find Alan and Kathy. And it's been 2 years that they've been here, but then, and then another change with Alan Virgin, and then even just recently with Zach leaving. And, you know, you can sit back and look, and I just have to, and I am amazed that God has protected us. And so I hope you can just understand that. I want to thank you for the encouragement that you are to myself, the encouragement that you are to the board, of just how strong of a church that we are. And the best part is, through all of these transitions, we've been doing ministry. There have been things that have been going on in this church. We're probably never going to be, oh, thanks, we're never going to be the largest church around. But I think we are using our gifts the way God wants us to use them. So when you sit back and you sit and think, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? We could also say for us, is there any encouragement from belonging to Bridletown? Right? Just take some time and think about that. What are some things that you are encouraged by? We've had some from James and Elaine of what they've been encouraged to, why they've been encouraged from coming to Bridletown. God has a purpose for a church, doesn't he? It's not just this fluke that we all just get together for some kind of teaching once a week. I mean, there is a purpose for coming together as a church. And the word for me that just keeps coming over and over again is the word encouraging. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 20. Go to Hebrews. So Hebrews was, this church had been about 80 years since the church had been founded. And if you go into Acts and look at the way it was when the church first got together, I mean, you can read about it. They were getting together almost every day. They were praying together. They were doing acts of love to the community. They were helping the poor. They were praying with each other. There was just this massive excitement about being together. And now we're about 80 years later, and the issue was that people were starting to abandon the church. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering in the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Other verses are "let approach," or that the end is approaching. There's other verses that say, "Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds." And we've been doing that as a church. And it's been exciting to see how we've been able to hear stories about how different people have come into our congregation, have had a need, whether it's a physical need, that they needed furniture, that they needed, you know, maybe we were even able to help them out with some money, spiritual needs they needed, and just friendship needs. And I'm encouraged that we as a church are doing that. But we need to do more than that, right? We need to not just kind of get complacent in our church. And that's what was going on in Hebrews. That's what was going on with the Philippian church. They became a bit complacent in the church. So let's think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect meeting together. The Bible has a lot of verses that talk about encouragement. I'm just going to read some off to you. So let us encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are already doing. 1 Corinthians, if one member suffers, all church suffers. If one member is honored, we all are honored and we all rejoice. Ephesians, do not use fool or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in trouble. Likewise, two people lying close to each other can keep others warm. But how can one keep warm alone? A person alone can be attacked and defeated, but two standing back to back can conquer. Three are even better, for a triple branded cord is not easily broken. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring you praise and honor to our God. Here's Proverbs. A heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. And it could go on and on. There's about another 45 verses that I was able to just print off and download here that talk just about encouragement. So I guess for us it's, you know, we are going to be in the next couple of months spending half of our board meetings talking about the vision, what we want to be able to do in the future. So that's our pledge to you as a board. We're going to try to get all our business done within 40 minutes, which will be a challenge, and then spend the rest of the time just figuring out what we feel God wants our vision for Bridletown to be in the future. And sometimes it's going to be hard. Some of the ideas we might have, some of the changes we might want to do might be hard. But I think if we can, at the core, keep the love for each other as one of the central values, and I don't want that to change. Bridletown has always, since I have been here, had that central theme that we love one another. Maybe we don't know each other that well. Maybe, you know, it's not like we all are just like every day coming in and, oh, I just love this about you, I love that. But being on the board, you do get to hear about instances where somebody is sick and three or four people go to visit them in the hospital, when there's other needs that they come and meet. And I think if we can keep the love of Christ in our hearts as we move forward, if we can, as a church, be an encouraging church, if we can remember that, if that can be our total underlying theme, then I think as we move forward into going out and reaching this community, it's going to be attractive to them, and it's going to keep us together, and we're going to be stronger together. One of the issues that we do have is at Bridletown is we've gotten to know each other, or kind of we enjoy each other so much that we neglect to have done in the past more community things. And I think that's going to be one of our visions as well, is really reaching out to this community. If we were to put up in our hands, how many have been here? I went through our list of members, and when, just in my mind, when they were here and when they haven't been here, we have so many that have been here probably it was like 10 or 11 years and more, and very few new members of the church. And I think that's something that we need to recognize, right? We have new people that are starting to come now, and that's great, but we need to be proactive. We need to be telling our friends, right? Do we have any encouragement about being at Bridletown? In the Old Testament, or in the New Testament church, people were encouraged by meeting together. They were encouraged that they couldn't wait to meet each other as a church. And they were inviting friends, when you read some of the history of it, they were inviting their friends to come. So that's a challenge for you. Are you at the point where you would be willing to invite your friends to come? If there's any encouragement that you are getting here, why not take the chance and start inviting your friends to come? But I think they will come if they're being encouraged, or if they know they're going to be encouraged by coming to the church. And again, if you go back to the Philippians chapter 2, if our core value that we want is the love, obviously, is for God, but for each other, to truly care about each other, to encourage each other. Verse 3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others as well. And then he goes on and talks about Christ's attitude. So isn't that great? I would love that, to see Bridletown more and more loving each other, encouraging each other. And I think as we do that, our selfishness, the way that we want things, the way that we think things should be done, will slowly kind of just disappear if we're doing it for the right reason. And encouraging is such a hard thing to do. Does anybody find it hard to be an encourager? Anyone? Or do we just love encouraging? I find it's hard sometimes, right? And you know what the problem is? And I'm just going to speak for myself. I encourage those who I don't know as well more than I encourage those who are the closest to me, right? My work, I am part HR. I'm a manager. I have 18 people under that I supervise. And man, I'm encouraging them all the time. You know, hey, you did a great job this week. I call them in for meetings, and I'm really trying to be that great encourager. I don't encourage my kids. I don't encourage my wife. And it's been hard hearing that from God this week. As much. Right? Why is that? Why do we encourage those that we know less than those that we love the most? And to be honest, I don't really have the great answer from God yet. You know, it is just something that I think in human nature that we tend to be that way. I think when we're so close to people, we tend to look at their issues, or, you know, the things that drive us crazy about them more than we do about encouraging. And there are those who God has given gifts of encouragement to. And I know a few, and, you know, they encourage all the time whenever you meet with them. Sometimes I think they go overboard. You could, like, pour out your heart to them, and they're just like, well, that is great. We'll just pray for that, and I want to encourage you that God's going to answer your... And you're kind of like, did you just hear what I just kind of said? You know, so it can't be a fake thing, but there are those that God has gifted as being encouragers. And there's one guy that I know, and almost every time that he introduces somebody, he kind of says a word of encouragement. And, you know, I'm kind of like a practical guy. I love having ways that on a Sunday that I can learn something and be practical. And so here's what he would do. It would be more like, you know, hi, Steve, this is, you know, this is Elaine. And see, Elaine, this is your Sunday. See, and, you know, she sings at her church and she does a great job. And you know, and whatever it is. And you could pick somebody else. You know, this is, I want you to meet Dave James. And man, this guy can fix almost anything. He is really good at that. And I've known him for X amount of time. And it's weird when you're being introduced to somebody like that. It's very different than just, oh, hi, Tom, I'd like you to meet Frank. He's a friend of mine. Yeah, that's okay. We tend to do that, right? But he always just slips in this little thing that, here's what I like about this guy. Here's what he or she does well. And I think if we can start to do that on a practical note, think about people when you're talking to during the week, right? Encourage them. Give a little word of encouragement. When you're introducing somebody, it's just as simple as saying something nice about them. When you see somebody doing something great, going above and beyond than they should, you know, send him a little note. Today, technology today is so easy for this to happen. It is so easy for us to encourage others. A small email, right? A quick phone call. I even have a friend who's trying this to be the encourager, but he doesn't like talking to people. So he purposely calls when he knows they're not going to be home to leave his encouraging message. And, you know, so he leaves the voicemail, and they get home and they get the message. So he's like, I'm not really a people person, but I'm trying. Maybe at some point I'll work up the courage to tell him face to face. But those are the kind of things. Say something nice when you see something going on. And one of the things that I have encouragement for bringing up Bridletown is that we are an encouraging church. I have been encouraged many times by people. And what I love about Bridletown, one of the things, is we allow people like our youth to do things in the service. We allow people who maybe aren't the best at something to be involved and make mistakes and not be the best that, you know, around. But it is so important, right? I love that after all the sort of turmoil that we've kind of gone through, my kids haven't really heard too much bitterness, complaining, or anything from others because they listen. Just a reminder, right? Kids will listen. They can hear things and they will know your conversations. And I think it's great that they haven't heard these things. Even with this, you know, with Zach leaving, it was a really hard thing to take. And I know my kids have been encouraged by some of the adults coming up and saying, God's in control, don't you worry, things are, you know, going to work out. And it's been great. I love the fact that we can have people, you know, the youth up taking a service, playing the violins, doing sound, whatever it is. We're encouraging them, right? We are encouraging these kids to stay in church. We're encouraging them. The stats, I went to a youth, one of the board meetings I had to go to this week was for youth work. The amount of kids that are leaving, which is a sad thing in the church, is so high. But one of the key elements to keeping a child in the church is allowing them to be involved. And as long as the kids are involved and doing things, as long as they're encouraged, you know what? They will stay. And that encourages us, doesn't it? It encourages us as the adults that we can see them, their joy as they serve. So let's never give that up. We all have gifts and talents. You don't want me singing here on Sunday mornings. That's not my gift and my talent. But if you enjoy it, talk to Elaine. We could see about getting somebody, you know, somebody to join. We have so many areas of opportunity. The sound, there's poor. There's Jason and Alex. That's it for the whole year to do work the soundboard. If you're pretty good with doing that, volunteer. Be an encouragement to them. Ask them if they can help. Hosting, you know, I've been hosting, introducing the services for 18 years now. I don't mind doing it, but hey, change is good too. So if you don't mind getting up in front of people, it doesn't have to be the exact same. Man, it would be an encouragement to have somebody and say, you know what, I'd want to volunteer and do that. The body, the church is made up of different parts, right? Some of us do behind the scenes work. I need my coffee. Man, I need my coffees on Sunday mornings. I love the fact that I can come in and get my coffee and there's always that rush after to get the snacks. Sunday school downstairs. There are people that volunteer their time week after week for our children. I want you to be encouraged about that. We are doing good work here, but we want to do more. We feel that God wants us to do more, that he wants us to be more of a light in this community, right? There's the school that's over here that we used to be able to be involved in. We should really try to start getting involved there. There are countless things that we can do in this community that we can show love, Christ's love for them. We can encourage them. Samson, You might remember Samson. He came here for a while, and then he's actually moved to Calgary. And I remember just before he left, we had them over for supper and had one of the best times we could have. And he was so appreciative of the church because he said, you know, as somebody who's new in this community, new to the country, even if you don't agree with what we're saying, he said sometimes he has friends that he invited. They weren't Christians. They didn't even agree with things that were being said on Sunday morning. But they love the fact that they could meet people. They love the fact that there were people that seemed to care about them. And you can look at how Bridal Town through the years, we've been a transient church, and that's okay. We've had people who have come for 2 or 3 years and go into ministry. We've had people who have come. We've helped them through RP3, through ESL. We've helped them with their English. They get jobs and they move out. You know what? That's okay. As long as we are mandated to be encouragers to people. We are mandated to show God's love. Because here's what it goes and talks about. Look what Christ did. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. He died a criminal death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So my dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is more important. Work to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. Here comes the hard part. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. And that was Paul's charge to the Philippians church. And that's sort of our charge, is we are going to be going forward in the next while, wanting to kind of reinvigorate, kind of wanting to just refocus and move forward as a church. But we're not going to do that by getting rid of being an encouraging church, by getting rid of being a church that loves each other, a church that loves fellowship. You know, there is no problem with fellowship. That's what the New Testament church did at the beginning. But they also, in their fellowship, it was to encourage one another, right? To spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Our reasons for coming together is to learn about God, to have him impact our hearts. Then we, as members of this church, are to encourage or spur one another on towards each of us doing love and good deeds to others. And if we go out from here and do the love and good deeds to our co-workers, to our neighbors, to our friends in this community, you know what? Your neighbors, you might live far away. They may never be here at this church, but it doesn't matter. As a family, we can encourage you. We can pray for you. We can give you advice and counsel of how to reach them. But being in my position where I am at work, I'm learning more and more. If we want to be a light to people, if we want to be seen as separate, that something is just different about this person or that person, one of the first things that we can do is encourage. Encourage them. And encouraging is not just saying nice things about them. It's encouraging is saying, hey, you can do better than that, right? Let me help you with this. Encouraging is finding out what's going on in their life, right? I know Kathy Buttram is after years has gotten the courage to start a prayer or slash Bible study at her work. And she's amazed at how many people who aren't even Christians are asking, not coming for the Bible study part, but asking for prayer. And isn't that great? If you could be, wherever you are, somebody who they can go to, that they can pray with and encourage. Because even as I say, if they're not here attending, we're one body, and we want to be able to show God's love to the world. So that's it, really. As I say, it's just, this has been probably one of the hardest struggles for me to just to come and to figure out what God wanted me to say. But I really just felt that in the last while that as a church that we needed just some encouragement, that we needed to know that God is working in us. God is working through us. And it's not, you know, and what's going to happen, I have no idea. But I would just love to, just like the verse says, that God will do more, immeasurably more than what we can imagine in this church. That we could have an impact in people's lives, that we can show them to the true Christ. So let's love one another. Let's spur one another on towards being more of a servant of Christ. Let's honor each other. Let's try not to complain so much. Don't think I'll ever get to the point where I do nothing without complaining. Maybe in heaven I will. But the word complaining there, by the way, was a word of somebody who brings a complaint without trying to have a solution. So it's not that there's people that if you have an issue or something that you want to talk about, but try to have a solution as well. And you know what I mean, right? There's people in your life that you know that just every time you're going to get together with them, you're like, oh, man. I remember when I was in track and field, I did sprinting, and I got to the Quebec finals for the 50 meters and the 200 meters. And it was funny, the 50 meters, you know, I'll say it, I was the only white kid. So it's a sprint. There's not many white guys in high school that are fast enough and can make it. So all the other runners thought I was a line judge. They had no idea that I was actually going to be there racing. So I didn't do that well in that race. But I can remember the 200. You know, I started off and I was behind, and it was in one of the heats. And you're getting a bit discouraged, and all of a sudden I could hear my brother and my brother-in-law's voice just yelling. They're like, you got him! Run! Run! You can get him! And I just remember, I can't even find him. I'm just like running. And it was like I just felt great. It was just like I got this extra boost of energy, and my brother-in-law just kept, go! Go! You're catching up. What they could see is they were kind of at the finish line and they were coming around. They could see that the guy that I was behind was dying. He was barely doing anything. And I heard that and I just, bam, I ran as hard as I could and I beat him and I moved on to the next level and then I got killed. But but I moved on, you know. I can still remember that to this day. It's that encouragement, man. It was just that voice and hearing it of saying, you can do it. And I think that's what we want to be as a church, right? When you're down, you want to be able to hear somebody say, you can do it. You're going to get through this. You're going to be able to finish this race with our help. Because the Bible says this is a race, isn't it? Let's go to prayer. Dear God, I pray that you would just use some of the words that I've said here this morning. And Lord, we all need encouragement. If we can sit back and think to different points in our lives, to different people who have been an impact in our life. And most of the time, it's because of their encouragement to us. It's because they were there for us. We knew that they loved us. And oftentimes what they said wasn't always easy encouragement. It was hard. Sometimes it would even hurt us, but we knew that they loved us. and that they wanted to spur us on towards better love and good deeds. And so, Lord, I pray as a church, I just thank you for Bridletown and the history. And Lord, as a board and with Alan's guidance, as we think about a future vision, I just pray that you would guide us correctly and that you would help us to know what you want us to do. But as we do so, I pray that we would continue to be a church that cares for each other, a church that truly wants the best for each other, a church that is willing to encourage. And it is going to be hard to do. It is out of my comfort zone at times to be an encourager. And Lord, you've gifted us in different ways, and we all have different ways of encouraging others, whether it's a note, whether it's making a meal for somebody who is having a rough week, whether it's just a quick phone call, whatever it is, I pray that we would think of others more than we would think of ourselves, and that we'd be willing to serve you in that way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.